Blackstone Audio presents Superfluous Women, A Daisy Dalrymple Mystery by Carola Dunn. This book is read by Lucy Rayner. Dedicated with thanks to our forebears who struggled for the rights of women, and with hope to the present generation that they will continue the struggle to preserve and enhance those rights. Far away, behind the row of crosses, shadows black, stretch out long arms before the smouldering sun. But who will give me my children? The Superfluous Woman, Vera Brittain. Historical note. Britain, after the First World War, had about 2 million more women than men. The press labelled them superfluous or surplus women. 1. Daisy awoke, gasping for breath. Her racing heartbeat thudded in her ears. For a frightening moment, she had no idea where she was. Just a nightmare, of course. She had dreamt she was shut up in an airless room with no doors or windows, where a faceless figure was trying to smother her. As memory returned, her heart quieted, but her breathing was still laborious. Her chest ached. She started to cough. Raising herself on one elbow, she reached for the glass of water beside the bed and took a sip. She had gone to sleep sitting up, as the doctor had recommended. The hotel's inadequate pillows had slipped off the bed during the night. The chambermaid would bring her a couple more, if she asked. The staff at the Saracen's Head had been very friendly and helpful when she arrived in Beaconsfield yesterday. The pale light filtering through the blue cotton curtains told her she had slept through the night for the first time in weeks. Getting out of London, out of the Thames Valley, clearly was a good idea. The smog of October 1927 wouldn't count among the worst to afflict the metropolis. However, the southerly breeze that broke it up wafted the noxious mixture of coal smoke and river fog up the hill to Hampstead, usually happily above the miasma. Daisy's mild cold had turned to bronchitis. The doctor ordered her out of town. She didn't want to impose her illness on friends, and she felt too rotten for a long journey. Beaconsfield, a small town on the edge of the Chiltern Hills, seemed ideal. The air was clean. She was breathing more easily already. She was about to leave the warm nest of her bed to retrieve the pillows when she heard a tentative knock on the door.
Who is it?
Your tea, madam. Come in.
Calling out set off another fit of coughing.
Oh, madam, you don't half sound bad.
The local speech featured unvoiced final consonants, much easier to understand than some dialects Daisy had encountered. She very soon stopped noticing.
You better have a cuppa, quick.
The maid, a sturdy, sandy-haired, freckled young woman of about Daisy's age, set down the small tray and poured.
Here, careful now. You don't want it to go down the wrong way.
Daisy managed to stop coughing for long enough to sip, and then to empty the cup. It soothed her throat a bit.
Thanks. Weren't you waiting in the dining room yesterday evening? That's right. I'm a waitress, really. I don't do the cleaning and such, but I live in, so it's easy to help out with early morning teas, and sometimes on reception to oblige, and to earn a bit extra too,
she confided.
I'm saving up to go to London and learn to type. I want to work in an office.
Good for you.
What's your name? Sally, madam. Sally Hedger.
Properly, Sarah.
There's another cup in the pot if you want it, and a couple of biscuits. I saw you didn't eat enough dinner to keep a flea alive.